Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 414. How are we all doing?
Guess what?
Go on.
The sun's come out.
It will now.
Yeah.
The bank holiday's almost over.
Now we've had two wet walks.
Yes. Poor Lola. Rain almost stopped play, but not quite. So, let me get into the chat.
I think she's in a moody with me.
Yes, because you keep taking her out in the rain. I scream the W word, as ever. W-A-L-K. And she just looked at me like, yeah, no. It's too wet. Oh, there's lots of chats. Sarah was first in. Congratulations, Sarah. Hello, Kim. Hello, Renee. How are we doing? There's Jonathan. There's young Jonathan. Excitement tonight, Jonathan. It's bin night. And what's better than that? They're taking the real rubbish tomorrow. Usually it's bottles and you've got to file it all. But tomorrow is that thrilling day. They're taking the real rubbish. Oh, isn't the life's come to this, hasn't it, Mike? And you're thrilled when they're emptying the bins.
Yeah. It's been raining here all day, Dee and
Not
Sarah.
Not stopped. Been awful.
In fact, I was walking Lola before, and apart from the blossom that was all over the place, which kind of indicates that it's spring, it was like a November afternoon. Windy, twigs and branches all over the place.
Yeah, but when
rainy.
You say the sun's out now, you should whip outside and take a photo of that cloud, because it's absolutely soot black.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's not looking good.
No.
Hello, Deb. And you said D.
Yeah, D's in.
Ah, there we go. My chat's not updating. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Right, so hello, D. Oh, now you see Renee's got good weather. Well, you won't have when we send you what we've got. It's hideous. Oh, no. Jonathan needs to take the rubbish down. He didn't go last night.
Don't spoil line of duty for Renee.
Oh, good grief. At what speed did you watch that at, Sarah?
So don't talk about it.
Don't talk about it. Oh, Jonathan doesn't watch it. What can I say? No, I'm not going to say anything. I sat there at 9 o'clock and thought, what do I do? Is it book club or line of duty? And I thought, there's no way I can avoid anything about line of duty. So line of duty's got to be. Now I've got to catch up on book club. But yeah, I did watch it live. And I didn't do any of the Twitters until it was over. And then I went on Twitter and, oh, honestly, I was just laughing my socks off. They're still talking about the donkey from last week. The biggest question is, will they do another series? And that we don't know yet. We do not know the answer to that yet. But I did what Sarah did. I watched every episode right back from season one last week, heading up to it. So everything was totally front of mind. And you know, the thing was, obviously, there's a lot of talk as to whether it's the last series or not. So there is no spoilers in this, right? But suffice it to say, explanations for certain things were given, which was fine. Only I had, because I'd just done the whole binge watch thing like Sarah, I had a list of my own questions and half of those weren't dealt with. So I'm thinking there better had be another series. So fingers crossed there will be, but I don't know. They should put it back as it was on BBC Two, where there was a handful of interested people watching it. Because one thing that's been more than annoying all week is all the videos on YouTube. Episode analysis, series 6, episode 6. And it's like people sat there giving their opinion and you're like, really? You know, going over it, but in hindsight. And then there's other videos where they're making predictions. And I'm just like, no. If he's got line of duty, then I don't want to see it. No spoilers. The acronyms make it difficult to follow. Do you know when it very first started and they were banging acronyms at you? I'm like, what? That the oh what? You know, and I went and looked it up, and there are guides online to all the acronyms in Line of Duty, which is handy. But I did think at the start of this one, it was even worse than usual. When they said the chiz, I thought, the what? And I didn't think I'd heard that one before, but then it turned out I had, but I'd obviously taken no notice. So, yeah, I agree with you. You know, it can get quite bad, can't it? Do you know the bit that I do like? He's like the little tiny wrap-up bit that they do at the end where they put the subtitles on. You know, and they never make clear with that how far into the future it is. So it could be like a wrap-up the day after, or it could be a wrap-up 6 months down the line, and they never actually say. But you know, I could watch the whole thing again from the beginning. I could. It's a good series.
Don't spoil it for Rene.
I'm not going to spoil it for Rene. I'm not going to say a thing.
He's still watching the early ones.
Ooh. Right. There will be no spoilers. Nobody must spoil Line of Duty. To be honest, I think, yes, it would spoil it if you knew some of the things that happened last night. But a lot of it's the journey and not actually just the final lines. It's all the nuances along the way, and it is a very, very good series.
Yeah. Don't spoil the United Liverpool score.
Yeah, don't spoil that score.
Yeah.
That's still rumbling on.
Is this season four, this one?
No, six.
Oh, Renee's watching season four, I think.
Oh, Renee, you'll never... Good grief, you'll never understand if it's all mixed up. Oh, no. Amazon have got it and the BBC have got it. So if you've got a VPN, Renee, you could VPN via the UK and watch it on the iPlayer. The only thing you'll need is a postcode. Just give them Buckingham Palace's postcode. They'll never know. Seriously, you can get away with that. They are just ask for a postcode. So the postcodes are via Manchester's M. And then there's like usually six or seven characters in it. I guess you could make one up, but they would probably know that. So just put the Buckingham Palace one in. Or even, how meta's this, Mike? The BBC's postcode from London.
Yeah.
One I use a lot when I want...
I used to know that because it used to come up on Swap Shop.
Wasn't it WC1? It was Wood Lane.
Yeah.
West Central. WC1, I think. Never mind. Poor Mike. He's going back to his youth there. Oh, dear me. But season four was my favourite. I just thought series four was just fabulous. It was, I think, in hindsight, looking at it, it was the most standalone series. So it was my favourite, that. Oh, Dee, listen to my reading. You were nosy. Really well. Don't think you did. I did not make a mistake that you saw. Good. That's good to know.
Dee says, every time I need a postcode for the USIP 90210.
That must be more
Rene
millions
uses
of people.
That as well.
Yeah, because you can remember it.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Were you a fan of that, Dee? Who was it? Oh, it was Tori Spelling, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anne Spelling's daughter.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who was in that.
You're right, Sarah, and that was my problem in the week. There was so much speculation about the details. And then, like I said, it's all over the front of the papers. That didn't happen with the old series because it was good. It was, you know, probably even better back then. But it wasn't to that kind of fever pitch bit. So you can't look at the papers. You can't look at Twitter. I mean, last night it was trending, I think, about 8 out of the top 10 trends were something to do with Line of Duty. Now, having said that, the week before, the wee donkey was trending. The wee donkey made a lot of appearances last night after the show, but I left all of that till after the show. All of it. But yeah, it does spoil it for people. Kim's having a problem with season four. Let's have a look. As the... would have needed sutures from the head injury, so something isn't adding up. Well, she was out cold, wasn't she, Kim? I don't know with that. I'm prepared to overlook that because I just thought that was like the ending of the show. The way it finished, and you remember me saying that, is it Justin or Jason? Jason Watkins. Oh, I just loved his character. Loved his character. I thought season four was definitely the best. And you do have subtitles to make up for it. I'd be interested with the subtitles, how accurate they are. What was it I was watching? It had these subtitles on. I'm thinking, Between the Lines. Has anybody seen Between the Lines? It's an old series. It's about 28, 30 years old now. But it was the Line of Duty of its day.
Is that the one with Neil Pearson?
It was Neil Pearson and Tom Georgeson. It had a heck of a cast.
Yeah.
It really did. Oh, Siobhan Redmond. It really was a good series. You look at it now and you think, good grief, it's dated in terms of, you know, no mobile phones and all the sexism and stuff. So, terrible racism in it. But it was a good series. It showed it as it was. It was brutal for its time. And they were actually rerunning it after Line of Duty, but on BBC Two. But for the last couple of weeks, I've been so exhausted at the end of Line of Duty, I forgot to turn over. I don't know. Have I seen it all? I don't think I have. So I have seen it before, many, many, many years ago. But they were going through season one. And I think there was a couple of episodes of at the end of season one. So I was rewatching that. But the subtitles bore no relation to what was actually said. So much so, I thought, was this... It must have had subtitles in its day, 30 years ago. But have they been deliberately redone to kind of tone them down a bit? And I think they had. Because obviously I can hear it and I'm looking at these subtitles, which came up automatically. You know, I didn't turn them on. I spent half my time turning them off. But as I'm trying to turn them off and I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, that's not what he said. It was possibly the essence of what he'd said, but any bad language was taken out. And I thought, the thing is, sometimes the bad language is for context. The worst of what they were calling the women was taken out. One of the phrases was something like, she's a fit bird or something. And I thought, you don't actually hear that too much these days, do you?
That's a real 80s expression.
Exactly. Not in polite company, you don't.
A fit bird.
A fit bird. You don't actually hear women called birds that much now. Not like years ago. So we have had some kind of progress then, basically. Right. Let me catch up here. Hello, Tony. Is anyone going to try Vigil, another series made by the makers of Line of Duty? I think I will. I did actually last night when they put the advert on, I did do a search to see when it was on. I think it must be starting towards the end of May because I've got a TV guide that goes for 2 weeks and there's nothing there. But yeah, I would give that one a go. I do think he's a fantastic writer. I think the way that was plotted for six series was pretty amazing. And the acting as well. I mean, the main characters are just fabulous. I must admit, I love the guy who plays Ted Hastings. I think he just plays him so well. And last night afterwards, when I looked at Twitter, people were saying, you know, mic drop, just give Adrian Dunbar the BAFTA now. Just for that single line last week. But I think he has been fantastic all the way through it. It's funny when people say, I won't spoil the twist, and then you're like, but now I know there's a twist. Thing in Line of Duty, though, I mean, I must admit, last night, I was waiting for a twist that I was convinced was coming, that didn't. And then I'm thinking, but I've got to be right, so there needs to be a Series 7. It was a bit like when 24 finished, and they were saying, Kiefer Sutherland was dropping big hints that, you know, that they could never pick it up again because things had happened. And from memory, you know, you're thinking like, oh, they're not killing Jack Bauer. They can't do that. And then from memory, there was a dog in it. And I remember thinking, oh, if the dog dies, you'll be bereft. But they didn't. They didn't. And then there was another series. So there you go. Oh, dear me. Right, I'm catching up. Hello, Paul. How are you doing? Been binge watching Danny. Please tell me not all Chinese food is fried in the UK. There's a lot of Chinese food that is indeed fried. A lot. Even things like sweet and sour that wouldn't necessarily need to be. They would fry the balls and then put it in the sauce. Now, I know we've also been places, haven't we, where you've ordered sweet and sour chicken and you get it and you're thinking, that's not how I have sweet and sour chicken. But yeah, there's a lot of it fried in the UK, a lot. And most Chinese takeaways tend to have a kind of chippy attached. It'll be a Chinese chippy. So they'll do fish and chips as well. So they've got these huge fryers to fry stuff in. Therefore, most of the stuff is fried. Ooh, Tony, does anybody use a Raven Pro scanner? Fujitsu is going to have big problems in 2022 when they change the software, rescaling to the cloud. Not again. Fujitsu haven't got a good history with the software. They rendered my scanner useless for 3 years. Luckily, I didn't throw it away. And now I've got a driver that works. That's another reason not to upgrade to Biggles, isn't it? Keep me off Biggles. Keep giving me reasons. How's young Jonathan doing with Biggles? Have you kind of forgiven yourself for doing it now, Jonathan? You're all watching Danny. Loving that. Not just Chinese, it's one of the episodes. There's a chocolate cream egg fried. Oh, no. We discussed deep fried Mars bars, but not a cream egg. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. No, just no. Deep fried food, not appealing to Kim. You might go hungry here, Kim. It's very common. There is that place, what's that? Is it called Just Sushi?
In the Trafford Centre.
Yeah, Sushi.
I think it is something like that.
It's not like a full restaurant. It's like a corner of one of the department stores. So I'm guessing something like Macy's in the States. Only this one is that John Lewis at the other end? No, it's Debenhams, isn't it? Or is it Debenhams? Hang on. Which one is it? It's John Lewis, isn't it?
John Lewis is near the Apple Store.
Yeah, it's John Lewis. So under one of the domes in the huge mall that's there, there's like a huge open front to the John Lewis store. And the food is on that level. So it's things like you can go in and buy chocolate and stuff as gifts, wrapped up stuff. But then there's this area that they put on one side and it's a sushi bar. And there is a conveyor belt meandering past you with the food on it. Must admit, it doesn't appeal to me. But people seem to love it. I mean, one, I can't be doing with sitting basically in where the shop window would be trying to eat. That's hardly better to me than trying to eat on the hoof, which I'm not doing. I do not walk round eating. Eating, you sit down and you eat. You don't walk round like with a nose bag. But that's really common here. So much so they have to put signs on the shop window saying, you know, don't bring food in. Which just tells you a lot about standards in the UK and they're not what they were. My mum would have knocked me into the middle of next week if she'd have caught me as a child eating while walking up the street. The only exception to that would be like an ice cream. But people wander up the street now eating like pies.
Don't we know it?
Oh, they do. No, it's not good. No, I can't be doing without. Oh, dear. Right. Catching up. Heated discussions about the Mars bars. We did. No, I could. I'd give one a try under sufferance, but no, I think I'd be sick. I don't think it would last long. I don't. Swapping over. So, this scanning thing. What's your review? Guy not impressed at what they'd done. No, none of us were impressed with what they did last time. Raven. Is it? That does not sound like a big brand. I've not seen one myself. Is it an American thing? Oh, they do look like Fujitsu's. If you go to raven.com, no computer required. Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it? They've got cloud stuff as well. Free document storage. 2-day shipping anywhere in the US. Maybe they don't ship over here. Let's have a look at them. They're a similar price, aren't they, to the Fujitsu's. They've got a standard scanner, sheet fed, but standard scanner, $268 and $575 for a pro one. But do they supply in the UK? Looks like you're in the UK. Change country. Yep. Okay. Let's do that. $197 for the standard and $421 for the pro. And there's a couple of other models as well in between. But do they ship to the UK? Now you've got it priced in the UK. Do you ship here? I've never heard of them. But I think a scanner, as long as you've got some kind of software to make it work, then I think you're okay. But then, of course, from the Fujitsu fiasco, we know how important it is that you do actually have continued support. You don't want to be spending that kind of money and then it not working when you upgrade to Biggles. The Pro has an LCD scanner and a lot of ports. It does look like, well, the standard one says Mac and PC compatible, but the Pro doesn't say that. So it looks like that could be a standalone thing. In which case, you know, you push the button and it's sending it up to the cloud and it doesn't need a machine to actually make it work. Shop on Amazon. All right, let's click that button. Currently unavailable, and plus the fact it's gone to .com. I think this could be something that's not particularly readily available internationally. Let's have a look. It is available. Well, there's a listing for it on .co.uk. But it's saying not available. There is a brand on it, but the brand doesn't say Raven. So that looks like it's a seller, third-party seller. So no, can't help you on that. Can't help you on that. Paul says, how about a driver eating a salad while driving? Really? No, you'd get arrested here for that. Somebody got banned from driving for biting an apple. Now, to me, an apple is something that I guess you can't distinguish. But, you know, something like a Mars bar or an apple, that is finger food. Obviously, you know, I've also seen women doing makeup while driving where they're like holding the wheel with their knees and putting their face on.
Well, I've seen that all the time.
Oh, no.
Or people brushing their hair.
Yeah.
I know a guy who used to shave whilst driving.
Again, I think what they're thinking is I can drive and I can do that with one hand.
Yeah.
But you can't if you've got a blowout. No. So concentrate on one job at a time. Some people find it impossible to not look at their phone if it pings. I'm not even in the slightest bit tempted. Mind you, I did once have a blowout, so maybe that's why. Luckily, I wasn't going that fast. You know, around the one-way system, around the town hall?
Yeah.
When it went the other way. We actually did, believe it or not, change the way the one-way system went. Anything to confuse you. No, I was stopped at the lights. So obviously I was accelerating away from the lights and the wheel just blew out. And I managed not to go through the front of the shop window that was in front of me. Then I had to limp round from where I was into a car park. But it was tricky because the steering was shocking. And once it's blown out, you're basically riding on the rim. So once that's happened, trust me, you don't do anything with the other hand. They're both on the wheel. It's the only way to control the thing. But the things I see other people doing. I mean, fair enough if you stopped at the lights. But even so, are you really concentrating if you're trying to put your face on?
I've eaten food whilst driving. The difference is you fed it to me.
Oh, yeah, I did feed you things, didn't I?
I think it's Pringles.
I think you'd get away with that, though. Because your hands were on the wheel.
That's yeah.
Yeah. So I think you'd be fine. Oh, dear, dear me. Right. Oh, good grief. Danny had a fried pie. Sounds like Danny eats anything as long as it's fried. Oh, but a salad. Did this person have a knife and fork as well, Paul? You can't eat a salad with your fingers, can you? Oh, dear. I did not know the Netherlands is famous for fried snacks and snack bars. I did not know that. I had a kind of vision of like a healthy European country there, Renee, unlike us.
The Dutch Pancake House in Manchester.
Oh, that's true.
Well, that's long gone.
Yeah.
I never went there.
No, I didn't. Kim's eating pizza while driving. Ah, now, see, that's the point, Kim. That's a one-handed affair, isn't it? You don't have to. I just think like a pie in a paper bag. You've got to move the pie up the bag or you're eating the bag. Whereas with something like pizza, it's self-contained. You just grab it and eat. An apple is the same. You grab it and eat. Something like a packet of crisps, you'd have to open. They're not called crisps in America,
chips.
Are they? Chips.
Yeah.
You see, our chips are fries. Are your fries. Oh, everything just gets so complicated.
I remember that when I was in the States. I fancy some chip fries.
Yeah. Chip fries.
Chip fries.
No, that is something that anything that you can do with one hand, you don't have to unwrap it, you don't have to cut it into pieces. That I think that's fine, but no, over here, they are very, very strict on that. But you see, wasn't it a case, or have they stopped doing that, that if the police pick you up for doing something naughty on the road, they get the money into the police fund? And drivers are saying like it's not fair, that they're overemphasising, you know, finding fault with drivers that are doing things that maybe strictly aren't legal, but they're not dangerous, just because it enhances police funding, which I can understand. Mind you, aren't the police in Manchester on some sort of naughty step at the moment?
That's what you said, yeah.
Yeah, it's there's something gone on with the police. They've been declared unfit for purpose. Sounds like Seattle, Kim. Oh, it'll all go worse, I'm telling you. Oh, Renee, I once had a big whopper driving spoiler, had to buy new trousers. Do you want to explain what Alex Ferguson did?
No.
He got stopped for speeding, and he gave a reason that he was speeding. Now, having said that, he got this lawyer involved known as Mr. Loophole. Well, that tells you all you need to know, doesn't it? Bang to rights, really. So let's find a loophole. He needed the toilet. Really? Why don't you leave home on time then so you can stop and go to the toilet? Oh dear, no. He needed new trousers as well, Renee. Funny that, isn't it? Oh, so Tony says, the guy says it can send to multiple places at the same time. You could probably set up any scanner to do that with something like Hazel. Hazel's probably the best bet to do something like that with. I've got some automation going that's been going that long, I can't remember what it does. But when I scan, it goes to the inbox of DevonThink, but it also automatically gets backed up in two places. So you could probably do that. I think the difference with this one is you could put that scanner anywhere if it's doing it automatically to the cloud and it doesn't need to be attached to a computer of any description, which is like one step up from a network printer, isn't it? But with that, you just don't need anything. Looks like a cool toy. Sadly, not available in the UK, not that I can find. Should have arrested this drive, but you figured it was California. Is that what it's like in California? Anything goes. Oh, dear me. One of Kim's instructors was always shave and drive. Must be a thing. Women putting makeup on does make me laugh because it's the faces that they pull while they're doing it and everybody else is just giggling away and they seem to be completely oblivious to it. Renee's driving instructor always wanted to stop and have a coffee. You refused, it was your driving time. We ended up drinking coffee on the wheel. Oh, I had a great driving instructor. Oh, I did. Derek, fabulous guy. I don't know, you know, how Mum found him, but seeing as though she'd given up the idea of driving, she said, I want you to learn in the right way. So she started ringing round, and I mean, it was her decision to stop. Well, she was actually a good driver. She was a very safe driver, but that was her problem. She said she didn't have the confidence that other people wouldn't hit her. And on reflection, she was quite right. But she was actually a good driver. I don't think she ever took a test. No. I don't think she got that far. She never failed because I don't think she got that far. But she decided she was supervising me. And because my dad had decided, you know, if I was going to do lessons, then I was a cool chick. We could talk cars together because I guess I was a bit of a tomboy. He's lucky, actually, that Mum went to football when she was a girl, which was really unusual back then. She wasn't the kind who wanted to drag me out looking at pretty clothes, luckily. So I'd be out playing tennis or playing football with my dad.
She wouldn't have taken you to the protest yesterday.
No, she wouldn't have taken me to the protest, which was just as well. But she was going to do it right. So she started talking to them. Right, I'll call you back. Get the next one. Have a chat to them. I'll call you back. Anyway, she found this one in the end. They were called Alexander School of Driving. And this guy was called Derek. Well, he pitched up the first day. And I suppose most people, bearing in mind here, I was 17. But I would suspect most people have like sat in a car and, you know, there's this pedal and that pedal. And Mum was saying to me, do not let your father tell you anything until you've had at least five lessons from this guy. she knew my dad. Oh, she did. So he rocks up and I gets in the, you know, he opens the door and I gets in the driver's side and I'm sat there like looking at it. And he went, right, how much experience have you got? And I went, where's the steering wheel? He went, okay, let's swap. So we swapped over and he drove me up to just near the church, Mike. You know, where you, if you're driving up this way from the church.
Yeah.
Literally. So it was a mile. And we spent the first hour and it took us all that while to go a mile. And it was pull over, stop, mirror, signal, manoeuvre. The poor guy had the patience of a saint. I remember as we got to the pub, the one where there was the fracas and the ear got bitten off, that pub. We got to the pub and there was a little bit of a roundabout. And I'm like, whoa. Yeah, because he's still doing the mirror signal manoeuvre thing and you've got the steering wheel and don't put your hands, don't cross your hands over on the steering wheel. But what Mum had done was she'd booked me, I think in that first week, 4 2-hour lessons. And she said, an hour's no good, you can't get far enough. So she booked me in 8 hours that first week. By the end of the first week, my car had arrived with Dad saying, you know, if you're going to learn to drive, I'll buy you a car. This car was almost new. It was only about 8 months old. So I was spoilt rotten. It was my 18th present. And he said, I'll take you out at the weekends and we'll do some figure eights. So what he had you doing was in a car park, just going round in like a figure eight. He said, you'll soon learn to you know, manoeuvre the car. And Mum stood behind him with her eyes rolling. Oh, dear, oh, dear. But, you know, I did. But there again, I had that incentive, if you remember. I started learning the second week in March. Yes, my insurance went from about the 15th of March. So it was the second week in March and I passed my test the first week in May. And the thing was, it was like, if I fail the first week in May, would I be able to get another appointment to take the second test before I wanted to go to Milton Keynes? And the incentive was, if I didn't pass that first time, it was unlikely that I would. And then my dad would have to drive me to that concert. I was passing that test, I'll tell you. I was very lucky, but Mum was right. Mum was right. He was a good driving instructor. He really was. Places I used to take him and then the places he took me. We went to one and it was like, it was the steepest hill I'd ever seen. And he said, just pull up over here. So we pulled up on the left and he said, right, he'll start. And you know, I honestly hadn't thought about that when I stopped. And it was a cobbled street, which is like stone, but it's uneven. And I thought, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it. It's too steep. But I did. I did. There is a video trending on YouTube of a security money truck in South Africa. Shows the guys driving. They get shot at and crashed into people. Try to rob them. Guys goes into full superhero mode and drives away being chased, crying out loud. Not seen that one being recommended. Not hot pizza while driving. No, I've not seen anything like that. I will go and have a look about at that one. I will. The pizza was a one-time thing. You have to eat very little takeaway. I see you as ultra healthy eating, Kim. I do. And obviously, Mike and I haven't had a takeaway in over a year and a half. Oh, although I did say, when Mike said, what's your fancy for dinner today? And I said, pudding and chips. Which is a northern delight. But no, we didn't do it. We didn't do the thing. There are no spoilers for Line of Duty, Tracy. It's against the rules. There will be no spoilers. But I need to tell you, Tracy, do not look at any of the UK papers or the news sites because it's full of it. Leave it alone. Wait until you've seen the show or it will be ruined for you. Today is First International. What's this? OSIO Integration Day. It's Happy Implant Day. Oh, there was a day, an international day coming up this week. And I remember thinking, good grief, we should have that for the theme. Oh, International Password Day is Thursday, I think. Mm. So there'll be lots of stuff about passwords. And have you changed your password lately?
Yeah, the theme could be everyone types a password into the WhatsApp chat and we'll see how many people's password is password or password 123.
Oh, if anybody wants a good book, I've just finished this book. I've just finished it because I couldn't leave it alone. I put it on and I thought, I might listen to a chapter of this and see what it's like, see if it's any good. Couldn't stop listening. It was amazing. Let me get my book. Right, cancel out the search. Let's get back to the library. It was called Cyber Wars by Charles Arthur. Absolutely fabulous. It was all about the hacks, going back to the mid-90s, SQL injections and stuff. But it was the full history of it. It was fascinating. There was a whole chapter on TalkTalk.
Oh.
And basically, you know, if you get a call off them, just hang up. That reminded me of Mike's mother.
I'll tell my mother.
Really good book, though. Really, really good book. All the Line of Duty episodes are on BBC iPlayer, and they are going to be on there for a year. So, yep, I mentioned that. But you don't have a VPN anymore. Oh, no, Renee. You've enough Netflix to watch. driving instructor was crazy. One of the first lessons said suddenly, turn right now. And he ended up on a rail track. He laughed and said, I should have watched first. Oh, do you know, I had one. This driving instructor of mine. And we were going up this road. And I instinctively turned left at the end of this road. So it's a T junction. And I instinctively turned left. So as we got going, he said, how did you know to turn left? Because I didn't tell you to. And I thought, I don't know. I just turned left. So I went, sorry. He said, right, let's go round again. So we went round again, round the block. We went up this same road and we came to the end. He said, so why did you turn left? And then I noticed there was a no right turn sign. That didn't stop me, though, at one point. When we went to the vets with the dog, went to the vets with Maya. And the normal practice didn't have any appointments. So they said, there's the other practice. And I said, well, where is it? So they told us where this practice was, about 2-3 miles from the other one. So we headed off up there. We got there, no incident. But when I came to come out of the car park, we turned into it by turning right. So when I comes to go out the car park, I turned left, not realising it was one way until all the oncoming traffic was coming the other way because there was no sign. I went back and I said to Mike, well, you know, how would I know? And it turned out there was a painted arrow on the road, but it was that badly disintegrating, you couldn't make out what it was saying. And the other sign that said, like, you know, no left turn, was behind a tree. So how is one supposed to know if they choose to hide the signs? get a free trial and binge watch. Good idea. You know, poor Tracy's had a lot dumped on her plate. Download a brief look. Going through the objects and effects supply. Oh, this is this file, isn't it? Do you know what I did do today? I've made a final decision about the other sessions in Mad May. Oh, should I tease you with them or just tell you? Or announce them one by one each week? That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Each day of the week, I could announce one. But what I've done is I've taken all the things that were suggested and to kind of put them into a reasonable order so we can work towards doing like a full project. Next to the full project, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I've got 8 options for the full project. So it's not too late to make a suggestion for the full project. I'm looking at the 8 and one's calling to me, I must admit. In fact, 2 are calling to me.
Just look at that.
Oh, she is snoring fit to bust here. And she has eaten, hasn't she? And she's walked.
She's walked, she's
so
eaten.
So she's settled.
She had 2 long walks over this weekend.
Yeah, she's enjoyed her little self. She's just had fun. I'm talking about the fact I've made decisions about sessions 2, 3 and 4. And we know that the 5 is going to be a project, full project, but we've not decided what yet. Oh, and I've got extras as well. There are extra ideas that are there. And I'm trying to put those into some kind of order. So we've talked about the smart notes for a while. And then, was it Sigma? Brilliant Sigma?
Yeah.
Requested Obsidian. So I'm thinking, well, it wouldn't make sense to do Obsidian before you've done smart notes. So then I'm trying to get that in an order as well. So has anybody got any last minute requests before I make these final? then it'll be that's what you're getting. I do think every one of them was like, yes, please. So I've not sneaked anything in that I want that you guys don't. I'm threatening to announce it one a day. What do you reckon?
Yeah, why not?
Drip feed it one a day. But if I do, you've got to put it on your calendars. You've definitely got to get it on your calendars if I choose to do that. Oh, do you know what as well? We're on the 3rd of May and nobody had noticed that there was no marooned on the calendar.
Oh.
We're now all marooned up to the end of May, which is a bank holiday, isn't it? Isn't it the 31st of May? I do believe it is.
Yeah, it will be.
So I'll put those on. Also put the after hours on. And WWDC. Do you know, that's literally a matter of days away now. Days. Let me have a look at this slot. Oh, and then I managed to delete a mail. You didn't hear about that, did you, Mike?
No.
This mail came in. I was trying to read it. I somehow managed to file it in the archive. And then I'm like, I'm never going to be able to find that again.
I do that regularly.
And there was no undo on it all. Oh, dear. Now I'm hearing from long-lost friends. Not heard of for a long time. Guess what? Looking for advice. What kit to buy? You might know. That's when you hear from them. So what's everybody else been up to? Is it a holiday the world over or is it just us here?
It's just us here.
It's not been great.
Because I know my colleagues in the States are working.
Yeah, they get days off, we don't.
That's true.
Thanksgiving for a start. That's 2 days, isn't it? That was in my book, my hacker's book. One of the hacks was socially engineered around Black Friday and Thursday, Thanksgiving. And apparently a lot of people in the States try to get 5 days work done in 3 days. I could do with that on a permanent basis, Mike. That I work 3 days, but I do 5 days work.
Mm.
Yeah, that would work for me. Yeah, only working 3 days a week. Oh, Tracy noticed you hadn't put the Mad May sessions on the calendar. Oh, and Renee gets a day off. We have 1 day off. Actually, I haven't put the Mad Mays on the MacBytes calendar because they're not actually like official MacBytes things. That's my stuff. So that's why they're not on the calendar. But I'll make sure we'll do the release one every day thing. So 4 from tomorrow, that takes us up to Friday, doesn't it? That's doable. I need my post-it notes, but the dog sat on top of them. Oh, Lola. Right, Mummy will get some more post-it notes out. It's not like Mummy's short of post-it notes, is it? Let's get this one out. Oh, they're Dayglow. Dayglow yellow, those we'll have. What holiday is it today? It is Early Bank Holiday Monday, which is... What's the history of this one? Is this the Russian one?
I've no idea.
The Reds Under the Beds one. Like a Communist Party holiday. I don't know. We have 2 bank holidays in May. We have the first Monday and the last Monday. So you just accept them and be done with it. But I don't think this one's been going that long, has it? What's the one at the end of the month? We just call it like early May bank holiday and late May bank holiday. But yes, it's the whole day.
In 1978, the government made the first Monday in May a bank holiday. In England, Wales and Northern Ireland, Scotland had already been enjoying the bank holiday since 1871.
Scotland don't do bad, do they? Because they have New Year's Day off and the next day.
Yeah. I have to move up there.
I remember it was in my lifetime and I would have said when I was maybe about 10 or 11, that would be right, 78. So I remember it coming in, it was like, whoa, another holiday. That was a Labour government at the time, wasn't it?
Mm.
Maybe that's why it was associated with the Reds Under the Beds thing. Oh. Well, it says May Day, doesn't it? But there's never any, like, decent explanation as to exactly why. Oh, Paul subscribed to the YouTube channel and set up a reminder. Now, Paul, sage advice. Sage advice. Because I don't always manage to get an email out if I put a video up. Because I'm all over the place. The fact that I can get the video up is amazing. So that is good practice there. Read what Paul's put and be more Paul. Definitely. Kim actually only gets 1 day off for Thanksgiving. Most take off 2. I just assumed it was 2. I'm loving Renee's attitude. I'm home every day. It's always a holiday. That's how I feel. Like, it doesn't make a jot of difference. Today's felt like a Sunday to me.
Yeah.
It's just been really quiet because normally on a May bank holiday, the weather's a bit better than this. Well, it has been known to be, put it like that. But today it's really cloudy and it's been raining. So it's much quieter than it would normally be. You've also got the problem, you know, with the pub situation. You can only eat drink in a beer garden. Yeah, you're going to need a tent.
Yeah, the pub around the corner shut at 4.
Not surprised.
Because of the bad weather.
Yeah, you just can't work like that. It's too cold. Far too cold. It's the equivalent of Labour Day in many other countries. Yeah, I think it was brought in and there was opposition to it at the time, I think. So it wasn't universally like, yes, let's have another holiday. There was quite an opposition to it. So maybe that was what was stuck in my head. But I was a kid when that started. But you just take it and think that May's nice because you've got only 2 Mondays you need to work in May. Sometimes the emails for Maroon show up 5 minutes before showtime. Do you know, they are scheduled to arrive 30 minutes before showtime. I mean, much earlier than that, and you'll have forgotten that that's what you were doing. But they shouldn't be taking 25 minutes. But I've had that with Book Club. I actually had to get in touch with him. He sent a mail for, I think it was 8 o'clock, and he sent it at 5:02 and it arrived at 8:15. And I'm like, no, this isn't good, because that's the only notification you get of the URL. So that's why we try and make it half an hour. If the public holiday falls on a Sunday, we recover it by being given a substitute holiday and another holy day, no longer observed normally. Wow. So you didn't get a real holiday because it fell on a Saturday. The shop's shut and that's all. I guess that's a bit like when Christmas Day or Boxing Day falls on a Saturday or Sunday. I mean, your best case scenario, really, if you think about it, is that Christmas Day is a Saturday. And that gives you Saturday, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday. Mind you, didn't we try and ponder your holidays this year? And wasn't it quite early, as I recall it?
Can't remember.
Well, this is what I would plan for Mike's holiday. Right, let's take it forward and have a look. Right, what's going on here? That's better. Right, the 3rd, I think, Mike. So how many days did you have off last year? Was it 20?
Can't remember.
Well, if Mike finishes on the 3rd, that'd be cool. So there'd be 1, 2, 3, 4. You wouldn't be going back till the 3rd of January. So can I request that that's when we have our holiday?
Yeah.
Yes, that would work nicely for me. Because this year it does fall like that, which is great. Oh, this is so perfect this year. This is perfection. 24th of December, it's a Friday. Which means it's after hours, 'twas the night before Christmas. It's MacBites After Hours 160. Big celebrations. Leading into Christmas Day on the Saturday, Boxing Day on the Sunday, which means that you get the substitute bank holidays on Monday the 27th and Tuesday the 28th. In addition to that, this is fabulous. So you won't be going back on the 3rd, might be going back on the 4th, because New Year's Day is on a Saturday. So the substitute bank holiday for that will be the 3rd. Yeah. So no one's going back to work until the 4th, which is perfect. Short week back. Excellent. Which means, because I usually take an extra week, I won't be going back till the 10th. Yay! What on earth have I done there? I've got a webinar on the 17th that I totally did not know about. How have I done that? Oh, is it every month now? Looks like it is. Who knew? Right. But yeah, that's perfect this year. That could not be better, I'm telling you. That is the optimum as far as I'm concerned. Because it only means, like last year, you took an extra day.
Yeah.
Because if it falls badly, you're back to work on the Friday. So you're going in for one day on that week. So you'd have that off as a holiday anyway. Oh, how nice. Perfect, that. Perfect. Wow, I did not know that, Tony. In Slovakia, if a bank holiday falls on a weekend, they lose the holiday. Oh no, they need to reorganise that. That is just unfair. Brooklyn's by request on Christmas Day. Oh, Paul, I hadn't thought about that. That's not on the calendar that early. Oh, we'll have to think about that. What did we do this year? When did it fall this year? Boxing Day, wasn't it? And we did do it. Oh, I don't know. Interesting. Anyway, so that was my day. Not exactly thrilling. Did exactly the same as I would have done if we weren't on holiday, but just did it with music in the same room as Mike. So normally we'd be in separate rooms while Mike works, because people ping him and they expect to talk to him and stuff. Mm. And I just look on in complete disgust when the phone rings, as though, really? You can't send a text. You can't send an instant message. You've got to actually talk to him. What's the matter with you people? That was also in that book. That book was really brilliant. It was it explained all about the, is it Podesta? Hillary Clinton's guy that and the email thing. Totally different story to what we got told in the press. It was fascinating because it explained it in technical terms, which is how I want to read it. You know, all that was going in the press was Hillary Clinton, in quotes, email hacking, in quotes, and then put the two together, but it wasn't her mails that were hacked. Oh, it was fascinating. It really was. Can highly recommend that book, but do get the audio book because especially if you've got Audible credits, the Kindle book, I think, is something like £12. It's more expensive than the paperback, which really narks me because they've got to send that on a van wrapped up in cardboard and stuff. So to me, it should never be more expensive on Kindle, but it is anyway. It might be if we're still under restrictions. Well, Tracy, according to Boris, now obviously take this with a pinch of salt, but according to Boris, all be sorted next month, 17th, that's it. Back to normal. No social distancing whatsoever. My attitude? Yeah, being locked down by September then. Because people are demanding, for which read, the newspapers are sabre-rattling, saying that people want holidays abroad. In the middle of a global pandemic, that should be the last thing on your mind. But according to the papers, it's the only thing that's on everybody's mind. And I'm thinking it's not fair on the other countries, like Spain and France, where their vaccine program's not going along quite as fast as ours. It's not fair on them having people descend from the UK who may be carriers but not actually impacted themselves. And then when they come back, they could be bringing variants back with them that the vaccine doesn't protect them from. Why is this such why is it so urgent? Can't people just wait a few more months? But Boris says, no, everything will be sorted by the 17th of June. So what do we do? What do you do then? Oh, well, we're not marooned anymore. Or is it just the sane ones that are marooned and everybody else is going out and booking holidays? You see, by June, I might want to go out and go to the Apple store and stroke the iPads. But I did the sane thing and just order, and they'll deliver it whenever they feel like it. And it does feel like that at the moment, honestly. Being COVID, it's sadly, yeah. I mean, a holiday. I know, in fact, I'm quite empathetic. So I can understand that if you are a person who enjoys the things you do when you go outdoors, like maybe you like bike riding or horse riding or whatever, I can understand that you're not happy because you can't do it. But you're not going out for good reason. And whatever it is that's out there, I can't ever see that that's more important than your life and the life of your friends and family. But the way some people are going on, I mean, there was a test event and it was a nightclub disco type thing, some festival thing in a tent. I think there was over 10 to 12,000 people there. Everybody had to have tests on the way in. They had to have tests during the event. They had to have tests afterwards. And this guy came out and he must have been, would you say he was early 20s?
Yeah, he looked it.
About 24, 25 maybe. That was the best day of my life. And you're like, it was a club. That was it. It wasn't like you just had a baby or something. No, just going to a club was the best day of his life. Sometimes there are no words for people, I'm telling you. Right, what's going on up here? Oh, Renee's been doing a lot of publisher work. Perfectly. Big compliments from customer. Oh, that's fantastic. And Kim's doing a colonoscopy prep. Oh, no, Kim. I know a friend who was trying to sort that out about 18 months ago. And there was some medication or other you're supposed to take the day before. And this was like two different kinds of medication. Could not find it at a local chemist anywhere. Just didn't have it. And the thing was already booked. Ended up having to travel miles out of their way to try and get this medication to be ready for this thing. But, oh dear. Fingers crossed for you, Kim. Fingers crossed. A serene experience, it just flows. That's good. A headline for Kim today is we may never reach herd immunity. Oh dear, being COVID idiots. I was wondering how it's going there. I mean, have they kind of said like, well, we'll all just get the jab and that's it. Just go about your business as you were. Because that's what it feels like. Over here, we do still have like instructions at supermarkets and pubs and things that are like social distancing. You can't go on the inside. But it also feels a bit as though people aren't taking it seriously anymore. But in the States, there doesn't seem to be any rules. You know, just go about and do what you like. All the terraces are full for Renee. It's unreal. COVID is. I can't help thinking that there must be an increase in the next month or so. I don't see how there couldn't be. I'm still not bothered going out. But then there's nothing out there that I'm particularly bothered about. But I can understand for some people, you know, they're going stir crazy. But if you are forced into a position where you are not comfortable, you either seriously have to get out of it or learn to live with it. I read this amazing book, Viktor Frankl, about being in the concentration camps. And obviously that's somewhere you don't want to be. But he wrote this book and it was a case of like mind over matter. This is the fate I've been dealt and I'm going to deal with it. And I will come out of this and I will come out of this a stronger person. And it's like, wow. The mindset was just amazing. So that was a concentration camp. If you can't stay in your home for 2 years, your own home, is there something wrong with you? I cannot understand it. I've got to get out. I've got to get out. But it's your home. It should be your place of safety to start with. So why the desperation? It's not like, I mean, most people are petrified of the dentist, aren't they? So if you said to them, you've got to go to a dentist and live there for 2 years, I can understand they're going to freak out, but not your own home. Your own home is where you should be safe and you should be happy to be there. Oh, dear, dear. Let people go on holiday if they want, but make them all have another 14-day holiday in a UK hotel when they get back. I'm liking that, Tony. I'm liking that a whole lot. But then they're moaning about that. Unbelievable. 14 days at a quarantine hotel, £3,000. That'd put them off, wouldn't it? You could have an iPad for that. Wembley match and the club, or even all NHS staff. What are we talking about now? What's that about, Tony? Is this the holidays or have I missed something else? It should be a global rule. It should. I can't get these people. That they were doing like Zoom calls between people, the journalists in the UK and people who were in India. And they were talking about trying to get home. And I'm thinking, what are you doing in India? If you live in the UK, why are you in India right now? That's the last place on God's earth you should be. What are you doing there? Oh, if I can't get a flight tonight, I'm not going to come back here. I can't get back. And I'm like, good. Good, you stay where you are, because it's the worst place to come from. Oh dear. Paul just had to take a gallon of laxative. Spend a bit of time on the loo. Oh, that can't be enjoyable though, can it? I can imagine why you need to do it, but you must be exhausted by the end of it. Oh no. So they've got to wear masks everywhere inside, says Kim, and only 25% capacity in stores and restaurants. You see, we're not being told that about the States. Whenever we see footage from the States, it just looks like normal. We haven't got restaurants open yet, but they are opening up shortly. I think that's the 17th of May. But here's an example of the kind of stupidity even at like advanced levels in the UK. This is idiotic. If you remember last July, Boris said, right, it's all sorted. There's a theme here, isn't there? It's all sorted. 4th of July. Well, obviously, parallels were drawn with Independence Day. We were back in lockdown within 10 days. So that was not the best idea Boris had. So this year, instead of making it that people could enjoy the Easter weekend, they didn't release the beer thing until after the Easter weekend. So what they've done in relation to sport is they've said, we can go back to professional level sports having supporters in attendance on the 17th of May, which was 2 days after the end of the football season. That makes sense, doesn't it? You know, so you're past Easter, now you can go out and have a beer. We're past the end of the football season, so maybe the more refined sports like cricket can have a crowd there. And what did the Premier League do? Move the matches from the last week, so they fall within the week of the 18th and 19th of May. So they can take advantage of one crowd for one match in the year. So United have already said, they've potentially got one match on the 18th or 19th of May, blah, blah, blah. To which my reply was, what, Mike? The 19th of May is my birthday.
So you can. That's when the match is now.
There you go. Didn't I know that? Now, do you remember that couple that you were friends of yours when I met you? And it was European Cup night. And it was her birthday. And she insisted that he took her out to a restaurant and not watch the match. And he then had to do a likely lads thing, or as we know it, line of duty thing. Don't tell him the score. Don't tell him the score. And didn't she kind of imply, as he's watching it, that there's time yet or something, and ruined it for him anyway? So.
And then they split up.
Well, I'm not surprised. What a way to go on. But I said to Mike, well, can't you just move the birthday? And I remember you looking at me like, you do that? I said, yeah, because you can't move the game. So even if we were going anywhere, would I insist I went somewhere on my birthday? Now the game's on my birthday.
No.
No.
Do you want to go somewhere?
No.
Right.
Watch the match, Mike. You can make it up to me later. Give me the 90 minutes of the match to make the list of the things you can do to make it up to me. Oh, for crying out loud. If you can't move the match, move the birthday. But yeah, they've moved the whole thing so they can take advantage by 2 days, which is not in the essence of it, is it really? Not really. But there you go. So fingers crossed for everybody who's got to have anything kind of medical done at any point. You have my sincere best wishes. 25% of teenagers have been thinking of suicide because of lockdown. That just blows my mind. Blows my mind. I'd have thought, mind you, I was thinking it would be easier that you're not meeting people who are criticising you. But because 100% of teenagers are probably on social media and online, maybe what's missing, you've got all of the nastiness that can happen online and none of the support from your true friends. So, yeah, that might make sense. But just sad, isn't it? An iPad for that price, just about. Absolutely. You'd only have pocket change if you got a case with it. I'd forgotten, because I've never bought one, I'd totally forgotten the price of the folio thing, the one with the keyboard on it, the magic thing. Yeah, not happening. Not happening. So I'm leaving that alone. What was I talking about? The experiment with the two events where people didn't have masks or social distancing. Yeah, it was like a club night that they put on in Liverpool. I think there were two of them. Got to clear the pipes. I'm totally with you, Paul. Totally with you. Oh. Oh, Tracy, no. Something didn't go wrong, did it? No. No, TMI, fingers crossed, nothing goes wrong. And it's going to be fine, Kim. All the positivity from the MacBiters is coming your way. Well, we better head off and sort things out, hadn't we, Mike? So I'm still thinking it's Sunday and it's not, it's Monday. Mm. Which means I'm behind, but I can't remember what I'm behind with. I'll go and find out what I'm behind with, let you know. Oh no, Tracy, that's terrible. Rushed in for an emergency operation. Ah. Oh. Do you know, things like that just make my blood run cold. It's like, can you not be careful? You had one job. You had one job. But no, it's all going to be fine with Kim. Positive vibes coming your way, Kim. So for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me.
And goodnight from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.